Welcome to episode 16 of the Youth Work Plus podcast. We've got another Q&A treat for you today. My name's Becky and this is Ollie, and we're your usual Youth Work Plus podcast hosts. And we've both been doing youth work for quite a while, number of years. And we normally talk about a youth work or kids work related topic. But yeah, today, as I mentioned, we have got some questions we're going to answer. Mixture of deep and meaningful and some just for fun. So the first one is, what's your go-to coffee order?
I am increasingly aware that I'm a coffee snob to the point where if I go to someone's house and they ask if I want coffee, I will say no thank you if I don't know them, because I don't know if they'll give me instant coffee, which is bad. And I got that way, but probably so. That's warning that it's a pretentious coffee order, but I'd go for a V60 pour over of a guest coffee bean. So super pretentious. Or if I'm somewhere I don't know, I'll just go for a latte because it's safe.
Yeah. I am usually, it kind of depends what mood I'm in, really. Like, I normally go for a flat white with oat milk, because I'm dairy intolerant, not just because I'm snobby about milk.
Same thing.
Or sometimes I have, like, if a coffee shop does a vegan hot chocolate that doesn't contain dairy, then sometimes I'll have that, like, as a bit of a treat. Or sometimes I'll go for like the caramel macchiato, just because I like something with like intense sweetness.
Loads of sugar in it.
Yeah. So it kind of depends what mood I'm in, and if I've already had a coffee yet that day as well. Because if I haven't, then I'll normally, like, my go-to is normally the flat white to get the caffeine.
The caffeine. You don't get that from a vegan hot chocolate.
No, but if I have already had a coffee that day, then I'll generally go decaf usually and maybe push the boat out for hot chocolate or caramel macchiato. But then if it's summer, like, it's a whole other ball game, because obviously you've got all the like frozen coffees, which I'm partial to.
Oh no, they're not even proper coffee.
I know. All the frappuccinos. Yeah.
They're good though.
Yeah, they are pretty good. So next one is, hardest thing about being a youth or kids worker.
Do you want to answer that one first, or shall I?
You can go if you want.
I think probably we talked about how to deal with uncertainty in our podcast, and I think maybe kind of uncertainty and self-doubt, I think probably pretty tough. Like, you know, you're not always 100% sure whether you're going to have a job. You have times where you think, does anyone really appreciate the job that I'm doing? Not always paid all that well, which, you know, realistically that can be difficult if you're trying to support a family. Those are probably the hardest things. I mean, they're outweighed by far by all the positive things, but yeah, I think those are probably the toughest.
I don't know. I think there's probably a few things that are, some things that are like tough sometimes kind of thing, like when you kind of having those kind of, I don't know, midlife crisis moments where you're like, what am I even doing kind of thing, you start thinking about your job as a youth or kids worker, and you're kind of thinking, what's the progression here and where's this going and what am I going to do next? And sometimes that can feel, I think, even more uncertain in ministry, because there isn't always like an obvious progression or like a next role to go to kind of thing. So like, it means like totally uprooting and moving somewhere different for a different challenge, yeah, or a totally different job, which sometimes like it can be difficult. Sometimes that can be like amazing, because you start a new adventure somewhere else and that's just the way the cookie crumbles kind of thing. But yeah, sometimes like in the midst of that, like when you're not really sure what's next, it can seem even more overwhelming, I think, because you're kind of starting from scratch.
Yeah.
And like, you're not, sometimes it's hard to know like where God wants you to be or what your next adventure or challenge is going to be, kind of thing, to even know where to begin to start looking. So I think I'd say that's a bit of a challenge of, and a hard thing about doing youth and kids work as a vocation. I think as well, just like we've mentioned it before, just like finding the right balance between like home life and ministry life. I think when you, like when you do youth and kids work as a job, you're doing it because you love it, not necessarily because you're being paid a lot. And so like you want to do a good job and you want to serve and you want to put time and effort into it. And sometimes that can be quite difficult to balance with, you know, home life and family life. And
yeah. And often youth and children's workers aren't all that well line managed, because you might be the only youth and children specialist in an area. And so people who are line managing you don't always particularly know what you're doing or even what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so that can be really difficult in terms of balancing stuff. I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been well line managed mostly. But I know that happens quite a bit where it's like, well, it's difficult. You don't necessarily have the support you need in place because there isn't anyone. It's not because the church aren't trying. It's just that, or the organization, there's just not people to line manage.
Yeah. And I think it can be difficult. Like when you start a youth or kids work job, like with a blank canvas, it can be quite difficult to know like how much stuff to schedule, like in the evenings, and how much stuff to schedule on the weekend. And like, obviously all of that has a knock on effect. Like if you yourself have got a family, so like all of those decisions can be tough in the midst of that. So I think that kind of adds to it to make it hard as well, because it's not necessarily like a 9-to-5 job, where you can just switch off and like it's not necessarily easy. But I'd say despite all of those negatives, like it's definitely worth it, and like I wouldn't want to do anything else. Favorite flavor ice cream?
I will, a bit like the coffee thing, I'll go for whatever sounds the weirdest if I go to an ice cream place. So I don't necessarily have a favorite flavor. I like to try a different one.
Yeah.
Which goes well sometimes, and sometimes it's horrible. The worst ice cream I had was like broad bean flavor.
Wow. That was weird.
It was bad. Yeah. There was a sweet potato one too, which was almost as bad.
Wow. I think I would usually go for something like quite sickly and sweet, like a salted caramel or a Biscoff or like something quite sort of unusual. But if it's like standard flavours, I'd probably go chocolate.
Yeah, it has to be good chocolate though. You know, like that fake chocolate taste.
Yeah.
In like, I'm not a big fan of that. Can't go wrong. Yeah, honeycomb or that kind of thing as well. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, honeycomb is a good one as well. Also, we've talked about this a little bit already. I didn't know this was coming up. How do you find balance between family and ministry? And then the secondary question on the back of that is, how do you put boundaries in place to avoid overworking or underworking?
Those are good questions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you sort of covered it a bit, didn't you, Becky? But I think balance between family and ministry is something that doesn't happen by accident. For me, it was easier when so I'm married, I've got two children, and when it was me and my wife Jo's very flexible and understanding, and we could fit time in around my job, and you know, our evenings were more, if you have two or three evenings where you're spending time together, it's easy because you can see friends in one of them, and like, you know, when we had children, that got a lot more. You have to manage it, and you have all the additional responsibilities and time pressures of kids. So I think, yeah, if I just left it to chance or left it to how things panned out, which has been my default, it just wouldn't work out. Thankfully my wife's very organized, so we have, you know, I have set family times that aren't for work, or if I have to do something that's worky, a bit like any other meeting, then I try and find other time for that family time. But that flexibility of ministry, so like for me, Saturdays, we have like a little Saturday tradition, but loads of times my next June, like that, my whole June Saturdays are totally full. And that's when my daughter's birthday is as well. And so trying to just be very deliberate and not feel guilty about stuff not getting done. I think that's been that I've learned from other people, is to be like, well, my family come first. That's my primary calling. And so that means sometimes my ministry, which is also really important, something can't get done. And that's okay. What about for you?
Yeah, I think I'd say I've definitely learned through making mistakes on this. Like, I think in previous jobs, like when I've, obviously it's a little bit different for us as well, because we haven't got kids yet. Soon we'll have one. We've got one on the way, in case you don't know. So I think I've been able to be probably more flexible than I would have been otherwise. But I've definitely, that's gone the wrong way in some previous roles that I've done before. I think it also, like, it really depends on the role and what is required of you and what kind of hours are. So like, I've done a few different youth work jobs, and like some of them have been church based, which have been more kind of evenings and weekends, and sort of been on the road to every Sunday kind of thing, or most Sundays, which has meant like we've had to be more intentional about the other day of the weekend kind of thing and spending time together. But also, like, I've had periods in my life where, like, I've been busy almost every evening doing a different youth or kids activity. And, like, I think after doing that for a period of time, like, you just know it's not sustainable. Like, you can't be involved in everything. And I think even if you've got a really kind of bustling ministry with lots of different projects, I think you soon realise that it doesn't have to be you who's there at all of them. Like, you can delegate stuff and delegate other people to manage different things, even if you're the only, or you're one of, you know, several paid workers. It doesn't necessarily have to be you at everything, I don't think. And I think some of those lessons, like, I've learned along the way, whereas I've previously, like, my mindset has been I've wanted to do a good job and I've felt that I had to be there at all the sessions. I think now I've learned that it doesn't have to be that way. And actually, like, finding a good balance between home and work life is actually really important. And sometimes, like, you have to say no to work to be able to fit family in, and vice versa. Like, you can't always say no to work to fit family in all the time. Like, it has to be a balance. But yeah, I think I'm a lot more intentional now about my time and what I'll do and how many evenings I'm willing to give up, and trying to fit things around other things. And sometimes, like, you have to, even if there's nothing necessarily in the diary, you have to be intentional about not blocking out that time.
Yeah.
Because you knew you would have spent it with family kind of thing, even if you didn't have anything planned. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, yeah, the diary's free, so yeah, I can do it.
Fit that in, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to be really intentional with your time and management of your time to say no to things, even if you technically could do it, just because, yeah, you know you're gonna need to spend that time doing something else.
I found having people around me really helpful for that, like good people. So a good friend of mine, who is our church warden at church, I remember our daughter was in hospital with the viral wheeze, so, you know, we were unsure and how serious it was, and we were there the whole time, and I was trying to work from the hospital, had my laptop, was trying to get some stuff done. I was trying to make sure that I would be at a certain group, or at least that the group would be covered, and Ruth, my friend, was like, what are you doing? Like, just be in the hospital, we'll be fine. And I needed that. I needed someone kind of sensible who I really respect and kind of look up to, be like, it's all right, like, don't you know, get out of your own kind of head. And that's been that those sorts of supportive people who get the ministry and get that it's important for you to have a family, they're really good to have around you.
Yeah, I think as well, like, it takes some getting used to being able to say no to things. I think when you're new in ministry, like, you want to say yes to everything because you want to please everybody and you want to do a good job and you want to, like, leave your stamp on and legacy on a place or on a set of people. And I think, like, just even under, like, once you are in a place for a certain period of time, like, you become a bit more comfortable and you feel more comfortable to say no to things, usually. But sometimes you have to kind of force that upon yourself to make those decisions, and it can be tough. But I think it's definitely more worth it in the long run, because nobody wants a burnt out youth or children's leader leading stuff. Okay, next question.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy doing when you aren't doing youth or kids work?
Films, like cinema, TV, like spending time with family, friends, running. I really like running when I can, and just going for meals out and that kind of thing. Nothing wild or particularly exciting. I'm a fairly content kind of guy.
Yeah, I'd say similar. Like, yeah, films, TV, spending time with friends. I've got nieces and nephews we spend time with as well. Also, like, I love doing creative stuff. It's like, I recognise if I haven't done it in a while that, like, I'm lacking it. So, like, I don't know, for me that could be all sorts of things. It could be like moving a room around, moving furniture around in a room to make it more optimized, or sorting out a cupboard. Or it might be something more creative, like painting a space, or like making some greetings cards or something, or doing something a bit more creative. Favorite Bible character and why?
From like a comedy perspective, I think Samson, because he's just so gullible and like weird and volatile. I find him a really entertaining character. And then Hebrews, it says he was a really amazing man of faith, which I find quite encouraging, because, you know, I don't compare that well to many Bible characters, but I reckon compared to Samson, I'm doing all right. And from a more kind of serious, like, inspiring, I really like Barnabas. I think just because he's sort of in the background and isn't the main player, I feel like I'd have quite liked Barnabas. I think Paul I would have like had massive respect for, and really listened to, but I had probably been a bit scared of him as well. Whereas Barnabas, you feel like, yeah. So I think he's my favourite character.
Yeah, I think for me, there's something I relate to in Moses' story, like that God chose him as like an unexpected sort of character to choose to use for something amazing. And I think I relate to that, like, whenever I've felt chosen for something, I've always been like, God, are you sure you want to use me? Like, there's other people out there who've got way more better skills than me. And God's like, no, it's you. And I think, yeah, Paul is another one whose story just, like, is another one of those out-of-the-box, like, characters where you just think, like, God could have chosen anybody for that, but chose him and chose to use him, and his transformation as a character is a good one. One that I enjoy reading about. What, neither of us have said any women, which...
Yeah, I know. It's showing our latent sexism.
Sexism, yeah.
there are way more men Bible characters too, due to the sexism of the time. I really like the Book of James as well. I think that's a good book. That's my, like, I love to read James or Hebrews.
Okay, which is harder, youth or kids' work?
I don't do kids' work very often, and therefore I find it quite fun and like a bit of a break, but also incredibly tiring. But I think the nice thing about kids' work is, generally speaking, children are much more appreciative, or that's not true. They show their appreciation and it's simpler. I enjoy that. I used to do a lot of children's assemblies, and that was always good fun. So I don't know. I mean, I know youth work more. I personally find it easier because I do more of it, but I find kids work like a bit of a break and a treat, in some ways.
I think I'd say like they're both very different, aren't they? Like you're gonna get some well, to be honest, I was gonna say you get some wild card things said sometimes in kids' work. Like I once was doing something in a school and a kid put the hand up and they were like, "Can I put my PE kit on, please?" It's like totally unrelated. So you get stuff like that, but then I think sometimes you get stuff like random stuff like that happen with youth as well, like yeah, young people doing ridiculously stupid things or
Yeah, or saying ridiculous out of context things. As soon as you said that, I remember one of my young people say, who's a very intelligent guy, just spouting up midway through, like we're just hanging out or something. And he's like, "God's not a monkey." We're like, "Cheer, great, thanks." Like, what is going on in your head that we've got to that? But thank you for sharing.
I think I'd say like probably youth work comes more naturally to me just because I've been doing it longer. Kids work is different, like it's more fast paced and like you need to think more carefully, I think, about how you're going to engage different children. I think you have to do that for y young people as well, though. It's equally, that's equally important. But I think sometimes, like you're more likely to perhaps know what you're going to get with a group of young people. Or I feel like I know more what I'm likely to get, or how something's going to go down. So I'd have to try less hard with it. Whereas with kids' work, I feel like I need to try harder. Yeah, to keep engagement and to keep things fast paced and things like that. Social media, love it or hate it.
I think I'm old. So I used to really like social media and like get really excited using it. And now I exclusively use social media for work. And I sometimes get sucked into it. I think it's incredibly addictive, but I've definitely lost the love. But I think that's just partly because I'm old and like social media moves on. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how to engage properly with TikTok. Whatever the new social media that comes out, I'll be like, I can't be bothered. I'd rather go outside. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing if used properly. I just personally, at the moment, I'm like, feels like a bit of a waste of brain. but that's because I'm old. That is full disclaimer, because I'm older than my years, maybe.
Yeah, I think I enjoy, out of all the social media apps, I think I enjoy Instagram the best. But I think that's because it's quite simple, like you're just looking at pictures. And I don't, I mostly follow people I know, so like it's, I don't know, seeing what they're up to kind of thing. So yeah, seeing and watching their stories and stuff and seeing where they've been and what they've done and all those kind of things I find quite interesting. And like, yeah, just seeing other people's photos that they've taken.
Yeah, I like that bit actually. That's good.
Yeah, that's, I do enjoy that. And like posting my own photos and stuff on there of things I've done and places I've been. But yeah, I don't really use Facebook anymore, other than for work.
Was going to say, does anyone use
Yeah, I
Facebook
think
anymore?
some people do, and obviously Twitter's still a thing, Elon Musk is trying to buy it,
yeah,
isn't he?
I was about to say, it's still a thing at the moment. I've never used Twitter, one that I never got into.
Yeah, I've used it a little bit, on and off. But yeah, I think YouTube isn't really social media, but I do use that quite a lot. Like, there's a few different content creators that I follow on there and watch. Disney YouTubers and people who live on boats. but yeah.
Yeah, I watch quite a lot of YouTube, range of stuff.
Yeah.
Like coffee YouTubers. Or Uncle Roger. That's the thing that I'm watching at the moment.
Okay, last question is, what keeps you going when times are hard?
God, really. I can't like put it down to anything else. Really, in the times when, obviously there are loads of other things, and I've got lots of brilliant support structures around me. But, you know, I find when stuff's really hard, I'm only really able to reach out to those and not kind of close myself off because of God. You know, I get convicted where I'm acting strangely, or the Holy Spirit kind of sustains me or gives me peace, or yeah. So fairly cliche Christian answer, but that has really been my experience. God's been the one sustaining me when stuff's difficult, and I can't do it on my own.
Yeah, I think I'd say the same. Like, the longer I've been a Christian, the more hope I've had that, like, God, like, is the kind of God who, like, brings us through anything. So, like, even when things have been difficult and, like, I've not known what was next, like, I've found comfort in the fact that, like, God never leaves us or forsakes us, and, like, God keeps his promises, and, like, God's always there for us in the midst of when things are easy or hard and all of that. Yeah, I'd say when times are hard, like, sometimes it feels like it's definitely felt in my life, like, that sometimes that's when God's been the most distant. But I think what I've learned the most is that actually that's when God is drawing the nearest to us. So even when it feels like he's the most distant, like, that's when he's actually willing to come the closest to us and, like, be right there in the midst of our pain or suffering or struggles or heartache or whatever it is that we're going through. And, like, that whole perspective thing of, like, realising that God's there in the midst of that, like, has really helped me in my outlook and, yeah, how hopeful I've been able to be when things have been difficult. So, there we go.
Oh, that's it.
Q&A part four.
Finished. Hope that was interesting and there were some helpful things in there for people. Yeah, do get in touch with us. Like, share, subscribe. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye.